This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
I am Josh Kelso here with Tom Engstead and Tyler Azeltine, and we are going to be talking about some of the events that have taken place over the last week and a half. It's really been a sobering time, a heartbreaking time. And as these different events were unfolding, I was reminded God created the world. It was good. It was very good. And very shortly after this, murder came into the world. And we live in a world that is fallen, full of sinful men and women. Tragedy exists. It's heartbreaking, sobering. And with the access to worldwide news and reports and social media, our exposure to these events is almost immediate and comprehensive. This last week, as you know, Charlie Kirk was assassinated, murdered. Irina, the Ukrainian young girl, was stabbed, killed on a light rail, a school shooting, critically injured, three children, the individual committing the crimes killed himself, took his own life. The depths of outward expressions of sin has just been, I think, for many, overwhelming, heartbreaking. Love to spend some time just talking about our thoughts on these things. How should we think about these things? How should we respond? Maybe what should we watch out against? What should we be guarded on in our own hearts against? And what should we direct our own hearts to? We don't really have a specific plan for how this conversation is going to go. So you're hearing our thoughts as we go. Tom, I'd love to maybe start with you just sharing, as these things were unfolding this last week, how did it impact you? What has it looked like for you just shepherding your heart, directing your heart, and how to respond and navigate these various issues?
You know, Josh, so many questions and so many different ways I could answer what you asked. I want to start by just multiple conversations I had with individuals that are part of the church and even beyond our church, but clearly believers. And we live in a world that is striving to cope with bad news. And I know what I found myself was in the place of giving hope to people that do trust God, do believe God's word. I think there's also so many different backstories to the events that took place, especially with Charlie Kirk. Having been a chaplain with a police department, my mind even went for the team that was there for the safety of the crowd and for the safety of Charlie Kirk. And I can only imagine their heartache as well. But for the believer, God's word, God himself gives us hope. We do more than just cope with the things and the circumstances in our life. I don't completely understand the origin of evil. I see the serpent in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, but I don't understand evil. I know what the Bible says about evil. I know what the future is for evil. It's going to be defeated. I know that there's so much evil that is portrayed in the Bible. And I know one day there's not going to be any more sin. And it's still, for some, that just might feel hollow because these are serious pains of living in a fallen world with so much hurt. I would say I don't think I had a personal reaction of how it affected me, because I would say within an hour, I was interacting with people that were struggling. Mm-hmm. And so I was forced in those conversations to go to God's word.
What were some of the passages that you found particularly helpful walking with people? I know there's been a broad spectrum of responses. We talked about this briefly before we started the podcast, but people have a propensity to enter into other sorrows. That's actually really good, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn. And there was deep sorrow felt. There was fear. There was anger. I'd love to hear, as you interacted with people, what were some of the passages that maybe was on your mind that came up in some of those discussions?
The first one that comes to mind is Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the sun. This might be a horrific expression of evil, but clearly there is nothing new under the sun. I know as I was interacting, you know, just even with people in authority, going to Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, that God has placed, this isn't a time to retreat or quit because the world is so evil. God has put people into the position of the authority that they have. And so those were the two places I went to, and I know Genesis 50:20 as well. Just, we know from the account of Joseph that what the brothers intended for evil, God's very clear in his word that he intended it for good. And there is comfort in knowing that.
Yeah, there's definitely a dual reality of appropriate sorrow over evil, longing for evil to be eradicated, wanting to flee evil ourselves, and comfort knowing God's sovereignty over all things, including evil, and that he is divinely using the evil in this world. It is even subject to his ultimate divine good purposes. There's a great comfort knowing that. It doesn't always dispel the sorrow or the sadness that we feel. I think that's part of why Paul can say we're sorrowful yet always rejoicing. We can trust God, have peace because of God, not have anxiety as we entrust ourselves to God, and be sad over evil and heartbroken for the effects of evil on families and two young children that won't have a father. And as you mentioned, again, as we were just prepping for this, 2,000 individuals that watched a murder take place personally, much less the countless people that saw videos of it taking place. There can be comfort and sorrow existing simultaneously. Tyler, what were some of your thoughts? What have you experienced walking with others, or what's been a source of encouragement in how you've navigated shepherding your heart in the midst of several tragedies all happening? It just felt like rapid fire on the news last week.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I definitely had a text message pretty quickly about a friend just dealing with anger. In response to several of the things that happened last week. And there is something that is not wrong about that, a desire for justice, an outrage at sin and wrong in the world. Death is not natural. It was not part of the created order before sin entered into the world. And there will be a time when death is no more. And there is just wrong in the world right now. It was really, really helpful for me. Last week I was reading about 50 plus pages about death, the death of the unbeliever, the death of the believer, the resurrection, and then about heaven and hell. And as I was just thinking through, it is good that a government would pursue justice. That is a good thing. And it is so sobering to just think through someone getting what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something that I wish for anyone eternally.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about death in that way, it should be so sobering for us, and we should want to preach the gospel to everyone who has breath. As I thought through the tragic events this last week, I thought through, I do not consider rightly death. I don't consider it enough, or hell enough, and I need to, so that I am ready to step into the lives and care for unbelievers with the gospel. As I just think through, in our fellowship group, we have a lot of young families. And I know that younger wives with kids and younger husbands with kids can relate a lot to the story of Charlie Kirk, and just can feel the weight of, what if I left and if I was taken and my family had to go on without me? And it was really, really helpful to be reading Thomas Boston, because he talks about that exact situation. He talks about how the death of a believer is underneath the umbrella of all things in Romans 8:28, that God works all things for the good of his people.
Amen.
And he also goes ahead and talks about, what if I was not able to provide for my family because I was taken at a young age? And it's interesting. The believer in that moment will not have a regret when they enter into the arms of their Savior and get to be with their good friend forever, their Lord forever. Hmm. And Josh, I've heard you say this before. If we can trust the Lord with our eternity, can't we entrust him with everything else?
Hmm.
Can't we entrust him that good friend who cares for us so well? Can't we entrust our kids to him?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that they need, just like he's the one that we need.
Yeah.
And he will provide for his people. They need to trust in him, and he's good. Yeah. As I've just been thinking of that, I've been obviously been in Matthew 8 quite a bit this last week, just reminding myself, what could separate me from the love of God?
Oh, Romans 8?
Yeah, Romans 8. Did I said Matthew, I think.
You did.
Romans 8. Yep.
Yep.
You know, I think, Tyler, as you just talk about the ultimate comfort of being with the Lord, and here on earth, because I realize our podcast is going to our church. It's going to people that love God's word, that read God's word. The comforting place to go when your heart is troubled is to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
In God's word, we know the outcome.
Mm.
And there's comfort in knowing the ultimate outcome.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a quote floating around by John MacArthur that all death can do to the believer is deliver him to Jesus. Mm. That's a comfort. That's a hope for the one being taken. The one being taken, the one with Jesus, won't question God's care for the family left behind when he's with Jesus. But where we feel the weight is, what does this mean for two children? What does this mean for a wife? What does this mean for a mom and dad and family members and friends and all of those who press on in this life without someone they love? Same with Irina, same principles, just devastating, heartbreaking, riding the light rail and unprovoked, just murdered in the moment, or children at school. All of these issues of evil, I think it is what you said, Tom, is absolutely crucial. We need to come back to, what do we know is true about God in the midst of an evil world? This evil world will be done away with. We're actually going to be talking about that again in 2 Peter 3 this week on Saturday night. But for now, we live in this evil world. It is not out of God's control. And yet it is heartbreaking. And so there's an appropriate sorrow to these things. I've been thinking through 1 Peter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a gift, employ it. Thinking through the tragedy of sin in this world and the problem that sin is, what would God want of us? And I think being sober, being of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer, being loving towards others. I have seen so much anger towards each other, so much hostility towards one another, even among believers, because you aren't thinking the way that I think you should think about this.
Yeah.
Or you're responding to this issue. Why didn't you respond to this issue? There's just been so much division, even in how people are thinking about these things, wanting to hold others to a response similar to ours type of mentality. And so I think whenever tragedy like this happens, it can be really easy to be sucked in to the black hole of information. Something for those listening that I would encourage you all to contemplate is, how much are you renewing your mind, bringing intake with truth from Scripture, in contrast to how much you're checking news articles and reading on details of these various events? How much are you praying for those involved, for those impacted from afar, for your own heart? How much are you committing yourself to love others, to serve others, to care for others, versus fixating on your own fears, your own sorrows, and so forth? That's been helpful for me. I know there's a temptation for me to want to go down every rabbit trail and every conspiracy theory, and just to be temperate, to be sensible, has been helpful for me. Hmm.
There is truly great comfort knowing that there will come a day that a good God will get rid of and be rid of the evil that's in this world.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think Romans 12 is really helpful for us in that. Verse 17 of Romans 12, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think that's so helpful in thinking through, how do I respond to the evil in the world that I'm observing? And then directing my heart, what does good look like right now? Tyler, as you were talking a moment ago, there is a reality where it is right for the governing authorities to wield the sword, to enforce justice, to keep the peace, to do moral good in the societies and cultures that we live in. And it is not our personal responsibility to wield the sword.
Right.
And I have heard multiple people just talking about, I hope Tyler Robinson gets what he deserves. And even making declarations about what they hope he experiences in eternity under God's wrath. Mm-hmm. That's really sobering. I would hope he is still breathing. I would hope that we would pray that God would save him.
Amen.
That God would redeem him, that God would forgive. And I think there can that doesn't sit well for everybody. But when you look at evil externally going on around you, and determine that that's the problem in the world, mm-hmm. and you miss the evil that exists in each one of us apart from God's grace, that's a pretty dangerous place to be. I know what has gone on in my heart apart from God's grace is so, so deserving of God's judgment and wrath. And I think often of a quote from Augustine in the Confessions, where he's, or a section, I can't quote it directly, but he's essentially thanking God for his restraining grace prior to salvation that kept him from all the evil he knew he was capable of, that he didn't commit. And he was already sobered by all the evil that he committed prior to salvation when he was an enemy of God, at enmity with God. But he understood the only thing keeping him back from worse was God's restraining grace. And so it is with us. The only reason we have not gone out and murdered people,
amen,
is because of God's restraining grace, that he would keep that. That's, we are capable of that with the evil in our heart. And so cultivating a heart of compassion, a longing for sinners to be redeemed, for God to extend forgiveness. We didn't deserve God's forgiveness. Tyler doesn't deserve God's forgiveness, but God granted it to us. And I believe that it would be good to direct our hearts to long for Tyler to repent and be saved, and to long for our government to do justice, to do what is just, to do what is right, and to administer that.
Yeah. In our fellowship group, the first thing I just shared is when somebody sins against me, just my knee-jerk reaction needs to be, Lord, please help me not to sin against you, or to sin in response to this sin. And we know we are called, Josh, just like you just said, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, graciously forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you, from Colossians 3. Those are things we know that we are to pursue every day, even in the midst of tragedy.
I hope our brief time speaking about current events in the world is a blessing to those that are hearing this podcast.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Take heart. I think that these tragic events are incredibly sobering, and a way in which they are helpful is that they reveal the fleeting nature of life. The time that we have is limited. People are dying every day and meeting their Savior, and they are either embracing him under his grace or experiencing his wrath under his justice. And the urgency to be faithful with the gospel, to live faithfully in light of the gospel, is necessary and good. And so your elders are available, Gilbert Bible Church. If there's any way we can serve you, be an encouragement or a help to you, we'd love to be, and hope that, as Tom said, you found this helpful. There's much more to discuss, and maybe we'll do that in the future. But for now, just keep fixing your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
As we run this race. Thank you, men.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.